Good evening, travelers of the night. Welcome back to The Stranger, where the immersion of an audio drama meets the chaos and uncertainty that is Dungeons & Dragons. Today, we are joined by Ari as Esperanza.
I have some wisdom for you today. You should probably eat dessert before dinner.
I've never heard that wisdom before. It's very good wisdom.
That's great.
Asteria as Dr. Isadora Glass.
Salve, amique.
Matt as Nihilus von Stonen.
Just a small hedge, ginger, mustached man on his way to prison.
And Shane as Trevor the Heartless.
A fast on his feet treat whose jokes he shall not repeat.
Did you just call that? That's amazing.
It took me a second.
Today, we are also joined by Tom from the Emerald Collective, a storytelling group based in Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition and other game systems. High fantasy or darker settings, their approach to D&D is a fun and lighthearted take on the narrative type of storytelling. So if you haven't checked them out by now, you definitely should. Stick around after today's episode and we'll play a clip of their show. You can find all details and more at thestrangerpod.com/emeraldcollective. Tom, I know you weren't expecting this. Is there anything you'd like to confess before we begin?
They say strangers are friends we haven't made yet. Keep those blades handy when you meet them, though.
Yes, indeed. So without further ado, let's get into today's session. You're in the restroom of a prison. The tile floors are cracked and chipped, the porcelain sink chipped as well, and there is a ring of shattered glass in the mirror. Now, this isn't the group of travelers who we've focused on so long in this campaign. It's someone different. Someone who is in a place where they certainly aren't supposed to be. Sweat beads on his brow. The shattered reflection looking back at him, wearing a guard's outfit. This prisoner, what does he see when he looks in the mirror?
What this prisoner sees is not what the reflection reveals to him. Someone looking, walking in behind and seeing that reflection, shattered into many myriad forms, would see a man with sunken eyes. The life no longer there would see that guard's uniform hangs a little more limply across a frame that's not quite as muscular as it was some years ago. What the man in the mirror is seeing, though, is he's seeing what he's leaving behind this day. He has worked for years to get to this point. This is the one chance he gets for what they planned to do. But at this moment, he does not want to leave. He does not want to step out. He looks at the blood on his knuckles, looks back at the mirror, knows this means there is no going back at this point. He does not want to go, but this is the only chance he'll get.
As you turn around, the toilet on the other side of the room is obscured by a scantily half-naked guard whose head has been stuffed into it. He's slumped and unconscious. The owner of the uniform you're wearing. As you turn to the side, you walk towards the door of the restroom, and you see it leads to your last barrier. A metal gate, a lock, a traditional padlock, meant to be unlocked just when guests come and go from the prison. One of the first obstacles somebody might encounter on their way in. You've timed this perfectly. There's no guards remaining besides the one that you've taken care of. What do you do?
Slow steps, measured pace, the echoes running round. This is just a guard on patrol. Everyone knows what that measured pace is. That pause at the third window, looking past the salt-encrusted glass out to the sea. Stepping back, reaching the padlock. A quick glance round, the eyes never stop moving. They pull out two little pins, and very quickly and very deftly, the padlock opens up. The gate opens with the creak, and the creak's at the normal cadence it should be. This isn't a hurried let me out. This is guard finishing his rounds. Steps through, closes it. Click! Recloses the padlock. Two little pins. That hurts as they go into the roof of the mouth. He knows what they're going to search for on the way out. They can't find those. One last thing to check the knuckles wiped clean properly. Turns, and that measured cadence as he continues to step outside. Puts the hat on, pulls the hood up. The winds are strong tonight. Heads out towards the boat.
You walk through the vestibule. A window where usually a half a conscious guard nods off when there are no guests or visitors. He looks up briefly as you step into that vestibule, raising one hand, as the guards often do, a gesture to let me pass. And the door opens. You step through, and for the first time in a long time, you smell the acidic, salty air that often people try to avoid, but you get to smell it again the first time in a long time. And as you step out onto this island, you see the ferry sitting at the dock. You step onto it as the ferryman turns on the engine and carries you to mainland, as we will go somewhere else. It's been a day. I don't mean it's been one day. I mean, so far, we've made it out of the salt wastes to the asylum. Each step along that path has been treacherous. There's no more peace. There's no more resting. Resting is for somebody in a better situation than weak, on the run, and in danger around every corner. But on the ferry, there is rest. It's not a long trip, but in the hour that it'll take to get to the prison, you sit around a metal table built into this ship that rocks back and forth as the waves pound against it. It's not a large vessel. Nihilus von Stonen, Trevor, Esper, and Dr. Glass, you're here together. What would you like to do?
Trevor, who's seated in, like, I mean, common area, he's got the can of tea, you know. He's just sort of haphazardly mixed it with some fresh water from his water skin, and is just trying to take a little sip, just anything. As he gulps it down with a rough kind of, like, effort, he's looking around to anyone around him. He goes, "Right, so we're going to this place. We gotta be thinking about defenses, right? We're talking about prison, right?"
Yes. And we have no idea if the guards are empowered as they were at the hospital.
Empowered. Right, yeah, yeah.
I did keep some of the sleeping pills.
Cool, cool.
Good.
I'm not quite sure about the prisons on this side of the country, but back in Cairnstone, they would have all kinds of detection in the form of even being able to see those that are unseen. So I'm not sure if our invisibility tricks will work quite like it did at the asylum.
A door opens to the cabin of the ferry. The ferry's running smoothly towards the island. And the ferryman walks across by you, sitting in the table, to the table with the kettle, and pours a can of tea himself.
How are you folks all doing? You all alright?
I keep forgetting that there's other folks is here. You know what? We're doing just dandy.
I'd say it's odd that people are going to the prison. It's not a normal place.
Oh, yes, I'm a doctor. I was visiting at the hospital, and I'm now meeting with the attending physician of the hospital. We have an appointment at the prison.
Really?
Yes, Dr. Isadora Glass. So pleased to meet you.
Ferryman before you has black beard, the cap's on, but you can see there's long hair now just tucking out the back. Let's just drink up towards you, takes a sip. Pleasure to meet you, Doctor. That's curious company you're keeping. These colleagues of yours?
We are a ragtag assortment, aren't we? This is my, this is Trevor. He's been accompanying me in my travels generally. He's been in my employ for a while. As you see, some things are more difficult for me, and she, you know, uses her cane. She jiggles her cane a bit. Well, actually, you might find it a bit funny as a boat person? A boatman? A boater?
Pilot is the word you're looking for.
A pilot.
You've been on a boat, right, Doctor?
We all got stuck on the last boat over from the mainland before the saturation came on the Royal Rose. We sort of just fell in with each other and are trapped. Then found ourselves traveling companions.
Sometimes these things are meant to happen, I'm sure. Shall we drop the pretense and get down to brass tic tacs? I think you're needing a guide in the prison.
That's...
And you need to be a little more circumspect in your conversations, do you not?
I keep telling you all that we should have... You should let me speak into your minds more often. This is what happens.
That's an interesting gift you've got there, Doctor.
Why are you butting into our business?
Hardly butting in if you're going to say this out loud.
All right. Listen, I think that we were quite conspicuous in our chatter. Oops, Daisy. But it looks like we might be looking for the same thing.
Entrance into the prison and a way out afterwards.
There we go. Look at that. I think of all the boats that we got on today, this one is the best. And I ain't gonna lie about that.
It's also the only one to the prison this week.
Well, as Sora says, sometimes the right path to walk on is the only path, and it just happens to have a fortuitous event.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth.
I would like our new friend to make a DC 15 strength saving throw.
Please tell me what you're trying to do.
To telekinetically pull him 5 feet closer to Dr. Glass.
Whoa!
Okay.
Right. Someone getting smooched.
And the DC is 15, so please make a DC 15 saving throw.
That's 18.
You just notice a tug come from in front of you. Now, you've experienced magic before, even though it's a little more rare nowadays, and somebody's just accosted you. What do you do?
The instinctive response you see is there's a readying position. The hand goes to the waist just a little bit. The eyes go for all four of you.
Whoa. Hey.
What just happened?
All right. I was just trying to get a better look at you. Seems like you might be useful after all.
Might want to curb the enthusiasm for that sort of technique. Doctor, the guards don't appreciate people who are a step out of line. There's time and place for that sort of thing. It's good to know what you can do. I'm guessing that was you, the talk of talking your head earlier.
Excellent guess. Just suggesting that there might be a reason we have a habit of speaking out loud things others might not. We also have a habit of
dealing with those who are over here when they shouldn't.
Yes.
That's fair. That's all fair. We don't have too much longer. I need to go back and make sure we're on course. But I think we can probably work something out when we get there. A way in.
At least seems a bit more of what you require or need at a prison. If we are to help one another, perhaps it could be fortuitous for us to know what we're helping in case there's an opportune moment.
He'll pull up a chair and he'll swing it round and he's resting on the back, so he's ready to move if he needs to. And you notice the eyes, they now cover more than just the four of you. They're always just moving, just keeping an eye out. You said you were looking for someone.
Yes. Emil Broder.
Do I recognize that name, DM?
Let me flip through and see if he's been renamed. Because I know Dr. Faust was making people forget their names.
You'll have already read through his patient file. Emil Broder would be all the names you see in there. Please roll an intelligence check.
Intelligence check. Okay. That's a 10.
You've heard the name before. It does ring a bell, but only in passing. People who would head down through the hold into the gullet would say it in passing. Sometimes in the same breath of another name that you've heard before. One that is scantily said.
Yeah, and you see is there's that moment of thing, and then there's that recognition and that In that case, we are definitely going to need some help inside. The person I seek, we can get to first, and they will be of aid to us. The person you seek, Emil, I remember correctly, there's a little more precautions in the air of the prison than it would be in. That's going to take a little more work to get to.
That's so Emil.
Dr. Faust dislikes to keep people lower down, and that's not great.
So we're still going with Sneaky then. I don't think we can bulldoze in.
Sneaky's always best, it's always worked for me. I find when I stick my head above the parapets is when things go to shit. You'll pardon me being blunt. My manners, I'm sorry. I am Roland.
Roland. Pleasure.
Pleasure indeed, Roland.
Esper.
He looks at Esper just for a moment as if he's still tasting the name, as if it's... Does that ring a bell? How much do you know of the prison? I'm presuming none of you have visited.
Imagine the possibility that we know nothing at all.
Yes, let's pretend that as a thought experiment.
That's what I was presuming.
Yeah, just to put it out there that maybe we're clueless and we're walking into something we don't know.
All right. Coldwater Prison is on a rocky island. It's in a bay. There's always wind. The whole thing was a watch fort? I don't know. Things. You go in to the gate, and the center courtyard is open to the elements. It sucks to be in the courtyard. The windows of the top area, the shallows, we call them in the things, slightly sunken into the rock face. You kind of, if you stand on tiptoe, you can look out that sort of height. It means when the windows break and the seawater comes in and saturation passes through, it's a bit of a pain to be in that bit. The guards tend to let the windows break if you antagonize them. There's drains in those floor that take you down to the hold. The main way to the hold is a big hole in the middle of the courtyard. A single lift will take you down into an open space underneath. The inner ring of the hold look out. They can see the daylight. There are tunnels that go out to the other side that never see the daylight. Then you get to the gullet. The gullet is under the lift. There is no way in while the lift is down. The lift must be out for them to even consider opening the gullet. I'm afraid at that point my knowledge goes. I cannot tell you what's down there. But I've heard some names. When I say one of them is called the Soul Render, I'll give you an impression of what sort of folk the prisoners down there. The guards down there are their own breed as well. They are not the wardens and the guards we'll find on the top level. Ones on the top level, they're human. They're humanoid. They hide away from the saturation. They're like you and I. Looks over at you, party. Well, me more than you, perhaps, depending on your skills. As you get down lower, it'll get harder. However, there is visitors. Because there are those from the towns who'd like to come in, do their charity work. Here we are helping out the prisoners. Oh, aren't we great? You've got a way to say you're coming in and do charity work. You can pretty much step through the main gate and they won't care. It's when you try to get out, they'll investigate further. Lizard's center is just walking straight in.
At this point, as the waves continue to batter the ship, you hear the church bells of the prison much nearer than they were previously. The ship is approaching quickly, maybe just a few minutes away at this point. A good time to, as a pilot, to pilot to a dock.
I need to get us landed. There's an expectation that the pilot will come in anyway to rest, recuperate. Might ask if you can help me carry some of these cylinders in, the tea. At least one of these boxes goes in for the guards. A little greasing of the palms so the pilot doesn't have to stay out here the entire time.
There's always a box.
I got you. I can help you haul some stuff.
Have a thought amongst yourselves. I will need to land the ship. This is the first time I've landed one, so let's make sure I do it right.
You're not trying to kill Trevor, are you?
I've no reason to yet.
Do you have a monster in the box? Or is it creeping around the corner?
I didn't even think of that.
Usually when someone wants us to help carry boxes, it's because they're going to kill Trevor.
The ship crashes against the dock lightly. It bumps as the waves kind of carry it into the right position, and you're able to bring it in, jump off, tie it up, and you walk in as a group now, being led by Roland to a large open gate, two towers, a large wall around the complex and in towards the structure. Through heavy metal doors into a waiting room and through the vestibule you go, not stopped even for a moment. It's low security in this section, but your quarters will not be in the prison proper, but in a place in between. Walking past guards, you find your way to where the ferryman is allowed to sleep, and not much of an explanation is needed. It's communal housing, it's a room with bunks, as you're now in the vestibule area between the security and the first level of the prison, the shallows. You make your way in, and Roland, putting down your tea into the same place you put it every time, some of your possessions still left behind here. You've been carrying this facade for long enough, and maybe this is finally your chance. As we enter the room.
So with confidence, ease, he walks to the chest of drawers. He's putting in the pilot stuff. There's a glance round. Don't mind closing the door for some privacy.
Esper just with one hand.
And with the door shut, you see he reaches under the drawer and there's a... And he lifts out the drawer and then he reaches down behind the drawers, still inside, where there's a gap. that no one ever checks. And he pulls out two short swords. Puts them down. I've been planning this for a while. He reaches back in and he pulls out a small pouch which clunks. There are a few things we might need here and there. Things to distract.
Like what?
I mean, just checking through. I picked up a few odds and ends. There, I think there's a trap. There's some caltrops. There's a hammer. If we're going down, there's a lantern that's hooded. And some oil. It's taken a bit of time to get these all back in.
Oh, damn. Look at this.
More than one ferryman possibly hasn't made the journey properly.
Been a busy bee.
And then the drawer will go back, and he'll just put those back in and recloses the drawer.
A little more confidence in this.
But now I think we should take our dinner. And we will take movement. I get an early rest tonight. We'll be getting up very early.
Wonderful.
We'll need to do this just before the dawn watch swaps over. They're tired at that point. Unless you want to walk down as a visitor.
But you're sure there's no one's leaving during the night?
Too late in the day for the ferryman to return at this point. Wind's picking up. They won't mind if he stays. They're used to the ferryman staying away from familial obligations on the mainland, shall we say. Little indiscretions here and there. People like a gossip, as you said. They like the scuttlebutt. You look perplexed, Doctor. Is there something amiss with it?
I'm just a bit worried about waiting. We know that both of our targets, if you will, are in the gullet tonight.
Okay.
We have to run off a bit of hope that maybe they don't know what happened back on the mainland, but they might know.
In which case, there may be a point as they get towards the hour or so before midnight. Maybe a bit of a slack period. John normally walks the left flank at that point, and then you see his eyes are kind of tracing through as if he's going back to. Okay. We can head down to the. Yes. Still stop for dinner as required. That's part of the routine. We need to keep that established. But then we should be able to. Well, the guards normally. Well. Takes 5 minutes where he's not on his patrols and he's has a little personal time.
Oh, I get it.
Something that possibly the ferryman should be carrying in all that often. Take money where you can if it's not actual script. But if he's alone at those few minutes, we might be able to relieve him of his uniform and possibly his conscious state. And then we should be able to walk it down at least the first level of the shallows.
I know that if it were up to me, we'd probably be trying to go in right now, and it'd probably fuck it all up. So I know the opposite of what I would want to do is probably the better idea. What if we just tried to get sleep now? Get what rest we can. And if we wake up early enough, it could still be quiet, you know? Patience may be a good idea, just a little bit of it.
Rowan's looking around at all and just see if there's a general agreement or not.
Is it suffice to say that we're taking a rest for the night?
Might as well.
That's what everyone wants to. Trevor will not object.
Alright.
Esper will, of course, stay up and keep watch on that one window.
Okay. The room is small, cramped, the bunks not the most comfortable, but it's a hell of a lot more comfortable than what options you've had in the days past. When the sky is just starting to bring a touch of color, just enough to know you have time before the sun fully rises, and you're able to go around jostling each shoulder awake.
Like a really tiny boxer dog with these small hands. the normal party members get a little bit of a shake. Our guest, Mr. Roland, will just get... Hey. It's morning.
His eyes open immediately, and there's just that hint of something going towards the pillow underneath. Right, yes, we need to get your things together. We need to go. He'll head to the door, and the moment he'll listen, and then it creaks out, and he's doing it really slowly. And he's holding the handle not quite all the way down, as if he knows there's a click where there shouldn't be one. Has the door open, he's just listening.
The door slowly opens. Please roll a perception check with a DC of 8.
That is a unnatural 20.
Dirty
20. Keeping it dirty.
The door slowly opens as you hear down the halls. You know these halls. Every stone, every drop of water tends to be familiar to you. And if you planned out correctly with the mental math you did about the prison, with what you know about it, there shouldn't be any noise. Yet, there is. And you hear not the rustle of a guard's uniform. You know that. You hear the sword as it clatters against the pelvis, the metal, the leather. This isn't that. You hear the patter of soft, eloquent footsteps. They round the hall near you on the left, and you can tell they're heading past your door so quickly, I presume, closing the door just enough to have a sliver that you can see.
And I'll be just indicating to people behind me just to wait for one moment.
And walking past the door is somebody you don't recognize. They are fully clothed in such a way that almost seems intentional. You know when someone's hiding something. A hood and a robe. The fabric is expensive, like a silk. The shoes, a wrapped leather, have this embroiderment on it. Somebody clearly very wealthy. But those things that you see with your passive perception are covered lightly with some more humble rags. What you see there is just parting between the creases. You can't get face or any skin or body, but eventually those footsteps round a corner and go into the distance, and you know it's safe to go.
That's new. We need to head this way. This hallway, second left, will take us to a quiet spot.
Moving through the halls, you make your way to this quiet spot right before you enter the shallows. The gate, oddly enough, isn't guarded. That's never the case. You had to find your way out this way, and just as well, you had to deceive the guard to make your way out. But you can't help but think there's some connection to this strange figure who's also entering. You can continue on through to the shallows if you like at this point.
So he pauses with the group and then just that look back. Is there anything I need to know about you? Is there anyone you don't want to encounter?
In particular, specifically, I mean, there's a few people on the island, maybe, but I suppose we'll know them when we see them.
Yes, you've met us. I don't think we seem popular, but we're not really expecting anyone.
If you see anyone from the Van Thorn family, try not to look in our general direction. That'd be marvelous.
There is that, yes.
If there's anyone from any of the families here, we'll have a bigger problem. Now or never.
Well, we're here, ain't we? We're doing this.
I'm going to head on ahead. I will go around a corner. I need to look. Our man is there. I'll give you a signal, and then I'll need one of those pills, actually, if you want to hand me that first.
Roland, for the first time, hears the doctor's voice in his mind.
You're extraordinarily resourceful, stranger in the night. Well done.
And he has bardic inspiration.
A time to prepare for this.
Just as you say so, pushing open the door, Roland, you walk into that courtyard with party trailing behind you. It's quiet. You hear snoring through the windows. Occasionally you hear some muttering, murmuring, but the courtyard itself, again, strangely empty. And as you step, seeing the lift just starting to go down, with this mysterious man back turned to you, lowering in the lift. Doesn't take long for the lift to return empty.
DM, would there have been a scuttlebutt point where there are moments where people are pushed away, where guards maybe are redeployed and prisoners possibly move to different areas just so there is gaps? I wouldn't have experienced it, but would he have heard of it?
Please roll history.
That would be a 15.
There was another prisoner. It's not anybody who's likely important, but you heard that they made their escape during one of these times. It was a fantastic rumor that spread throughout the prison. It's also maybe a bit of that hope that prisoners might have when they dream about what kind of escape they would have. That one day, one of the prisoners wanted to leave, had a plan to do so, and a plan to deal with the guards, but when they did, there was nobody who impeded their path. They walked all the way out and had an escape free and clear with no impediments. That rumor eventually did propagate into whisperings that occasionally the prison will adjust the patrol and timing of it to allow for passage unseen. Likely, not for prison escape, but instead for VIPs.
I think we've possibly hit the witching hour. We need to move now. And he'll start headed out towards the lift.
Esper quickly follows.
Oh, there he goes. Yeah.
The lift goes down, and quickly, the shallows, which, despite raggedy and uncomfortable, are relatively peaceful, starts to go down into the earth. And at this point, you find yourself in the belly of this prison. Corridors and cells, some reaching into the far dark corners and some nearby. And here as you go down, though unseen, you can hear the life from within. Whereas upstairs, a prisoner might be able to sleep, down here, there's always movement, there's always discomfort. It's dangerous to be here. And Roland, as you go down as well, passing several of the levels, though you can't see inside, you see and recognize the exact window where you would find the person you're looking for. Eventually, the lift comes to a halt at the base. Cells around you, cells on higher levels, and corridors going down. You know that in order to proceed further, the lift would have to be lifted back up, which you can do from down here. But few want to find their way into the gullet. And to go there willingly, you know, is a very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, he's not frozen, but very definitely there's a hesitance now to step out. This is one thing to come onto the island, it's another thing to take this step to this area.
Is it just me? Or is it just me? Or is anyone else's heart beating out of their chest at the moment?
No.
Hold on to that thought. It'll keep you going. Let's get a clear of the lift. And he'll motion them onwards.
Let's go.
The lift raises and a door is revealed. You can open it. It's more like a hatch. And as you step down, you see the other side of it has no handle. How you get out, how that door opens, not entirely clear.
Could I possibly leave a smudge of an object between the hatch in order to make sure it doesn't completely close?
Yeah, or can we remove the door or something?
I pull out a couple of pitons. I'm going to examine the door and see if there's somewhere I can slide them. Not, I don't want to block it all the way open. I want to try and block it into the door line where it catches. So I want to try before any lock engages.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just, so you still need some force to lift it out, but it should mean from above that it's appears closed unless you're looking very closely.
Please roll survival. It's going to be a DC 12.
Seeing it was analysis plan, you would like that help through guidance.
Feel free. You can take guidance on this if you like.
That is a 23 before guidance.
That will be enough. You can tell that this door is very heavy, and if you close it the wrong way, it'll just spin this object right out of its spot. But finding a balance, you slowly close the door and it rests, keeping the door ajar. And now, the stairs winding downward. We make our way down the stairs. Each step could just as easily be the end. And that may just be the least dangerous thing in the gullet. It's a long walk. The mental fortitude that it takes to make so many steps down while preserving your life because one little slip could just send it all away is exhausting. But you make it down to a small landing, round. You see, carved into the earth, now out of not dirt, but stone so far down, a hallway. One single hallway that runs all the way to the end. And on each side of that hall, you see doors, each one heavy and metal and difficult or impossible to open. You take a few steps down quietly, and some of those doors even are bolted shut. No handles, there's no coming and going.
I'd like to cast detect thoughts so that I can scan for thinking creatures as we go.
As you walk down the hall, you cast detect thoughts. All the way at the end, you see a door, the last one down the hall, and you see that man that you've been following this whole time. Just about to go in. Looks like he's taking a key out of his pocket as he goes to insert it. And you listen to the mental connections behind each door. I would like for you, please, to roll an intelligence saving throw. This is going to be a DC of 22.
Then I will have to crit.
Oh dear.
That will be a 9.
Oh. Esper, you take the lead, walking quietly down this hall. It would be a stealth check. Are you waiting for him to open the door and go inside, or are you approaching?
Esper will make a show out of slowly reaching into their pocket for one of those pills, looking back at the party and motioning towards him. She's going to try and jump on him, getting the pill in his mouth.
Dr. Glass, you see, as everybody in front of you, being faster, taking the lead and taking the danger first, you see as they walk forward, and first you notice Trevor. There's a hole in his chest. But you knew that, though it's larger, it's the size of an apple, and it begins to stretch to the size of a bowling ball, and then larger, like a car tire, as you see his body starting to deform, as the hole just keeps expanding until his body just becomes string around its central hole. You see Nihilus, as each step he takes, his feet, skeletal hands come up to grab at them. They wrap around and the bone starts to morph around and grow up his body like an armor. The light that was previously above him dims, almost absent from any god or holy element. You see Esper as she walks down the hall. One vial of slow ether, two vials of slow ether. She is just taking them down one at a time. The liquid seeps down her body and perspirates. That yellow liquid pools near her feet. And, of course, Roland. Roland carries a pickaxe that drags behind him, leaving a scar in the earth. The doors of the hall all start to slowly open around you. And from each one emerges another poor soul in pain. Skeletal, rotting, disgusting. The smell is so wretched. You almost want to throw up, but you can't. And Esper, you go to grab this man. I would like for you to roll an athletics check.
That is a 24.
You grab onto this man. The key falls from his hand. You grab his shoulders and they feel familiar. As you rotate him around and pin him to the door, you see there's a cowl over his face. He's wearing fine clothes. And as you go to pull this cowl up, it first reveals scars, this wrinkled pink skin with splotches of different grafted elements. Up his face just burns that permeate every square inch of his body. You might not have recognized him. If not, you specifically, seeing the look in his eye, that same look he gave you when he asked if you have any slow ether. And as you witness this, Dr. Glass collapses. And that's where we'll end the session.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Stranger. Want more? Support us on Patreon, light a candle for us, for your contribution helps shine the way. Also, if you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and leave us a comment down below. And if you're hearing this on a podcast app, it's a good time to rate and review. All of that helps us grow and be seen. And as a result, we make more awesome stuff like this. Now, stick around for an advertisement for The Emerald Collective.
The Emerald Collective is a group of
TTRPG streamers who play games several times a week over on our channel on Twitch. Whether tuning in live or catching up on video on demand, you are sure to be enthralled by our fantastic stories and get sucked into the wonderful worlds we create between our GMs and our regular cast of players. Join an active, growing community of fellow nerds, including the streamers ourselves, on our Discord server. All links can be found at linktree.com/Emerald Collective Podcast. And keep an eye out for the Emerald Collection Patreon, launching on May 1st. Where every month you'll get original monsters, magic items, maps, and more. Even the free tier gets an occasional bonus. We look forward to seeing you in the chat very soon.
Alright, I think we got it, lads. Yeah, I used the Eva Dutch piece. Jungle combat. No, I didn't use the visuals. Because this is for a podcast, so there are no visuals. Yes, we'll still have them on stream. No, I didn't mention the puns. I don't want to scare off potential viewers too quickly.